Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Today is May 17th, 2017, and we are wrapping up our four-part episode on the lectionary texts that were assigned for this week of May 14th, 2017, the fifth Sunday of Easter. And as I mentioned, today is May 17th, which has special significance for me, actually. Today is the ninth anniversary of my ordination. So 9 years ago, May 17th, 2008, I was ordained in my hometown in Montana, in my home congregation, which was exciting. It was a day that, kind of like my wedding day, is a bit of a blur. I remember bits and pieces of it. Thankfully, there are pictures of it. I just remember being surrounded by friends and family and colleagues, and it was a wonderful day of celebrating the work that I had put into seminary, into getting to that point, and the blessings that I had been given, and then celebrating this call to ministry that I had received. My first call was at a church called Atonement Lutheran Church in Montana. And so when in the Lutheran Church, you have to have a call before you're ordained. So I'd been called to Atonement, which meant that I was ordained. My dear friend Katie had helped me plan the service, and I had dear friends, my college mentor, my college campus pastor was the preacher at my ordination. It was just a wonderful day, and I have really great memories of that day and the family and friends who were there and my colleagues who came out to support me. And I am just grateful for that memory, and I celebrate and honor that today. What's going on in your life? Where have you seen signs of the resurrection today or this week? Where have you seen signs of new life? If you haven't been seeing those signs, if maybe things are not going so well for you, I hope things are getting better. Maybe yesterday was a bad day. I hope today is better. I hope that things in your life are looking up, whatever your bad days might have been. Just know that I am here for you, that I pray for my listeners, even though I don't know you personally. I know some of you personally, but even those of you who I don't know personally, I include you in my prayers, and I pray that you are finding those signs of new life and resurrection, being reminded of your relationship with God, being reminded that God is with you no matter what. So, as I mentioned, we are on the fourth of our four parts episode for this week, the fifth Sunday of Easter. We are on to the gospel reading for this week, and the gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14, and those verses are as follows. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the way. Show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. So again, this is the gospel text assigned for this fifth Sunday of Easter, May 14th, 2017. Those verses were from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. And my standard question to you, what did you hear from these verses? Are these familiar verses to you? Have you heard them before? If so, did anything new strike you this time? If you've never heard these verses before, how did you hear them? Was there anything confusing in them? Did they make sense? Did they not make sense, etc.? For me, there's a lot of things that jumped out at me as I was reading through these verses this time. And the first is that, like Psalm 23 that we read last week, this is a text that is often read at funerals. And you can understand why, because Jesus says that he is going to prepare a place for us. So it is the promise of those, it is the promise of eternal life, it is the promise of the resurrection. Jesus says this because in this chapter and the next two chapters, these three chapters, Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he will no longer be with them. And we talked a lot about that during Lent, during the time leading up to Easter, that Jesus was really trying to prepare his disciples for that time when he would be no longer with them. And so he is trying to give them comfort, words of comfort. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, because I go to prepare a place for you." Another thing that might seem familiar is, "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." A lot of translations, a translation that you might be more familiar with, often translates this as mansions or rooms. And that has been a common translation, but dwelling places actually captures the intended meaning of the original Greek a little bit better, because described here, this is according to my study Bible, described here is the intimate relationship with Jesus that is ours as we abide in Jesus' presence here and now, and the promise of dwelling with God forever in the life to come. So it's a twofold promise. It's not just that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, which he is. We are guaranteed that place to be prepared for us at the time of our death, but it is also a promise of Jesus abiding with us, of us abiding in Jesus' presence even now, in the here and now, during our lifetime here on earth. So it's not just a promise of future presence of God. It's not just the promise that we will abide in God's presence someday in the future. No, we are abiding in God's presence because Jesus is with us always. God is with us no matter what. So that's another thing that strikes me. A third thing that strikes me in this text is that poor Thomas is here again, and actually he's not doing so bad. You know, Thomas, as I said a couple weeks ago, gets that bad rap. He's always called Doubting Thomas. But Thomas is not afraid to ask the questions that probably all the disciples are thinking. So Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus replies, this is a time when Jesus doesn't chastise Thomas for asking his question. He just says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And so he's really reiterating all of the things that he has tried to tell his disciples, tried to tell his followers in his time with them. And now that his time is drawing nearer to a close, he's doing his best to really sink these things home, to make these things stick in the disciples' minds, stick in their hearts, so that they are not just knowing them, but they're feeling them, they're living them. Thomas says, you know, "We don't know where you're going." He asks a logical question. We don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how can we know that way? And Jesus says another one of those "I am" statements that are so prevalent in the Gospel of John. "I am the way." Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter where I'm going necessarily. It does matter where Jesus is going, because he is going to prepare a place for us. But more to the point, I am the way. You already know how to get there. I have given you everything you need in order to get to where I am going. I came to so that you may have life and you may have it abundantly. I came to introduce you to a new way of being in relationship with God. God gives us new promises of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is reminding them, I am the way. And then Philip Philip is the one that kind of puts his foot in his mouth because he says to Jesus to show him the Father, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. So he's kind of stepping one step past where Thomas was asking. Actually, it's Philip today who's asking the questions that get the answer from Jesus that might be a little exasperated. And Jesus says, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me?" So he's just said that he is the Father and the Father is him, that no one comes to the Father except through him. He is the way to God. And Philip is saying, well, show us God, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied. And Jesus is saying, hi, hello, you've been with me for 3 years. You've been traveling with me. You've been seeing me heal and preach and teach and do all these things. You have seen God. You have seen God in the works that I have done, in the relationships that I have created, in the miracles I have performed. And so we are going to talk more about this text. There is a lot in this text, as you probably see. It's a very dense text, and it's got a lot of good things in it. But we are going to take our first break, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the assigned lectionary gospel text for this week, the text from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. And there is one other thing that I want to look at from this text. And this is a look at this text from my own perspective, from my own tradition, and that is the Lutheran tradition. And in the Lutheran tradition, we have an emphasis on grace. And so Martin Luther himself, who we take some of our teachings from, obviously Jesus is where we take our teachings from, and the Bible, and the, you know, both Old Testament and New Testament, but we take some of the teachings of Martin Luther, and he really had an emphasis on grace over works righteousness. So he said there's nothing that we can do that can earn our way into heaven. There's not a checklist that we can just go and check off these things. Okay, got it. Great, I am in heaven. No, that checklist has been taken care of. Jesus is that checklist. Jesus has taken care of that for us. And so we have been saved by grace through faith. We believe that we have been saved by Jesus's saving power of his death and resurrection on the cross, his death on the cross and his resurrection. So whenever there are verses that talk about works, Lutherans can get a little uncomfortable. Like, we're not sure what to do with that. Well, we know we're saved by grace, so what's Jesus saying here about works? And Jesus does talk about works here in the last part of these verses assigned for today. He says, "Very truly I tell you," actually before that he says, "believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the work that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, is this saying that we have to do these things because Jesus said we had to? Well, yes and no. We have been given this gift of grace, right? We've been given the gift of grace through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has done that work for us, but that doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything now. So it's because we have been given this gift of grace, because we have been given this amazing gift of the love of God through Christ, that we can then go into the world and do the same works that Jesus did. We can continue the works. He's saying, if you believe in me, you will also do the work that I do. And so I've mentioned before that we have a Sunday in the Lutheran Church, in the ELCA, that's the division of the Lutheran Church that I'm a part of. There are a couple of different branches of the Lutheran Church in the United States, and my church is part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, or ELCA, probably more than you wanted to know, but just so you have that background. And every year, usually in, I think, September, we have a Sunday called God's Work, Our Hands Sunday. And various churches across the country take this as a volunteer day, and they go out into their communities and they do God's work with their hands, whatever that might be, whether it's, you know, it's just a way of helping your friends and neighbors and community, right? We do the work that we do God's work in this world, but we do God's work with our own hands. God's work is done through us. We don't have to do that to earn God's love. We've already earned God's love and favor because of Jesus. No, we do that simply because we have been given this gift of grace and love, and our response is to go out into the world and share that love with others. So that's a little bit of a Lutheran perspective for you, for your interest, for your edification today. Every tradition is a little bit different, so I like to share some of my perspective from the Lutheran tradition. I always like to hear other people's perspectives and what their tradition says and what their tradition teaches, because everyone comes at the scriptures a little bit differently, and that's the amazing thing about the scriptures, is that you can read them through time and space. They've been around for thousands of years. People are still reading them, still learning from them, still noticing new things in them. So as I was thinking about this text, and I've talked a lot about the little things that jumped out at me from this gospel text, first of all, I have a couple of questions that come to me from this text, and one of them is, what do you think it means to do the work of Jesus? And I touched on this a little bit more, and that is to go out and continue to do the things that Jesus did, to teach and to heal and to preach and to do all of those things, to tell others about our relationship with Christ. And it doesn't mean we have to do all of those things all of the time. We're also told that we are each given different sets of gifts, right? Each of us has been given a different skill set. No two of us are exactly the same. God has made each of us unique. So when we all work together, then the picture is made complete. We go out into the world and do Jesus' work in whatever way we are capable of. If we are a teacher, then we teach. If we are capable of building things with our hands, that's what we do. If we are, if we preach, then that's what we do, etc. If we are a healer, you know, whether you're an EMT or a therapist or a doctor or anything in the healing field, even things like a massage therapist or, you know, anything, that's what you do to do God's work. Your job can also be your vocation. You can do God's work in whatever gifts and skills that you possess. So then the other question that occurred to me was, if you could ask God just one question, what would it be? And this is a difficult one for me because I feel like I have 1,000,000,006 questions that I would ask God. I would just start from A and I would go through infinity and just ask God all of my questions. I don't think that I could limit myself to just one. I would like to ask, you know, fun things, silly questions, serious questions, those confusing questions that I've had that I just don't know what to make sense of, things that make me mad, things that I wonder if God finds funny or amusing, or does God ever roll God's eyes? I have 1,000,000 questions. But if you could ask only one question, what do you think it would be? Would it be different at different points in your life? Or do you have one big overarching question that you have always wanted to ask? I have talked to people before who have expressed a belief that we should never ask God questions because it might indicate that we doubt what God has already told us. So this is kind of, you know, going back to that doubting Thomas thing. Don't ask that question, Thomas. It makes you look bad. But questions and the asking of them are actually at the very center of the Gospel of John. A variety of questions are asked by many different people throughout this gospel, and each gives Jesus a chance to teach more deeply of the truth that he came to reveal to us. Of all the questions that are asked in John's gospel, the ones we just heard in today's text might be the hardest ones to answer. So To better understand these questions, it's helpful to know the context in which they were asked. And we've talked a little bit about this already. But at this point in the story, as we know, it's actually, as I haven't mentioned, it's actually the night before Jesus' crucifixion. This is Maundy Thursday in Holy Week. If you join me for the Holy Week podcasts, you know that phrase, or just in your own tradition, Maundy Thursday. This is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. So he knows he is at the end of his time to be able to tell the disciples everything that he needs to teach them. He's been trying to prepare his followers for what is about to happen, although how do you prepare anyone for something like this? So on the last night, he celebrates with his followers. He has that Last Supper with his followers. And in John's Gospel, this is the meal where Jesus takes on the role of the servant, and he ties the towel around his waist and he washes the feet of his disciples. Then after the meal is finished, or after the meal is described, the gospel then spends the next four chapters talking about Jesus' imminent departure, what is now known as Jesus' farewell discourse. So these four chapters in John actually have a name, Jesus' farewell discourse. And the verses that we read today come at a particularly tense moment in this discourse, because Jesus has just told his followers that one of them will soon betray him. And then he tells Peter that Peter will deny Jesus three times. Yeah. So it's at this point that Jesus has just dropped these bombs, these truth bombs, and then says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Yeah, oh, pfft. Okay, Jesus, wow. You can imagine the disciples' reactions. I mean, I can imagine myself what I'd be thinking. Jesus has just said, especially if I'm Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's sitting there thinking, no, Jesus, I would never deny you. And then Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And Peter's probably going, well, maybe you shouldn't have told me that then. I mean, I can just imagine what the disciples were thinking. And what I would be thinking if I were one of the disciples. So each of us probably imagines our own scenario of what the disciples might be thinking at this point, because probably each of us have had moments when we have been touched, when we have been deeply troubled or disturbed or even anguished at something that we have just heard or witnessed. And yet Jesus asks his disciples to not just believe in him, but to trust in him and to commit their futures to him. So we are going to quick take our second break of the podcast, and when we come back, we will conclude this part of this fourth part of the episode for this week of May 14th, 2017. Stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. So we have just left the disciples with their jaws hanging open, maybe looking at Jesus like, I don't know what to say to that, Jesus. But after dropping this chunk of less than encouraging news on them, Jesus blithely moves on to talking about going away, preparing places, and coming back. And he implies that the disciples should already know what he's talking about. He says that they know which way to follow. So then here is where we get to those hard to answer questions. And I've already mentioned them earlier in the first section of the, maybe the second section of the podcast. Doesn't matter. First up is Thomas, and he's the one who knows how to ask those difficult questions. And here, of course, he asks, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And as I said before, we can only imagine that Thomas often asks the questions that everyone else is thinking. They just don't voice them out loud. And Jesus' reply may or may not have made sense to those who were listening. I mean, he told them that he, in fact, is the way, and not just the way, but he is also the truth and the life. And we don't know if this is a satisfactory answer to Thomas, because Thomas doesn't have an answer to Jesus's reply in the text. We don't know what his response was, because then Philip chimes in, and although his part comes in the form of a statement rather than a question, it's still a statement with a question embedded in it, right? It seems clear that Philip is looking for some comfort in all of this confusion. He's just looking for anything to grasp at in this very confusing day where Jesus is imparting all of these facts, these statements on them, and you can imagine that the disciples are floundering a little bit. So he says, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied," as I already mentioned. And again, there is no reaction to Philip's statement recorded for us in the story, but there was very likely a reaction, because what Philip asked was a bit of a no-no. It was a definite no-no, because in ancient Israel, it was simply understood that no one could see God and live. That's why God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, right? Not appeared to God as God. So in none of the stories, actually, of the Old Testament, does anyone ever actually see God face to face. And yet Philip still puts forth this statement. He seems to be saying, "So Jesus, if you want us to trust you, maybe you could help us out a little bit here." Or, I don't know, maybe his motivation was more about comfort. "If everything is as you say it is, maybe it would be really helpful, Jesus, if we could see God so that we would have something to take with us going forward, since you say that things are about to get dark going forward." And it's actually a pretty audacious request, and it would have been considered inappropriate, but I think, again, we can probably understand where Philip is coming from, because he is coming from this place of, "I don't know what's going on. Jesus keeps saying all of these things, and it sounds like things are about to get bad. I need a little bit of comfort here." And each of us has had those moments where we're just looking for some reassurance. We just want that glimmer of hope. And all that we have heard, that glimmer of hope that all that we have heard and learned about God is not just some story, but is actually true. I've had these moments in my own life. One that sticks with me really in a profound way, actually multiple times that stick with me, were the times and the questions that were asked of me during my chaplaincy training. I think I've mentioned before that I did my chaplaincy training during seminary at Children's Medical Center in Dallas. And there's so many questions. You know, when your child is sick, when your child might die, there's so many questions of why, how. There's so much need and want of reassurance. People just wanted some reassurance that the promises they might have been told during their lives, and sometimes the promises that they were only vaguely aware of, were true. They wanted to see God in the midst of their children's illnesses. And if they couldn't actually see God, then they at least wanted to know, where is God during these times? Where is God during the difficult times? I think pretty much every conversation I had involved some kind of variation on where God was and why they couldn't just catch a glimpse of God in order to gain some reassurance. Now, as a young chaplain in training, I felt woefully ill-equipped to answer these questions. I felt unprepared to deal with those questions, but I could definitely understand the places that the questions themselves came from, just as I can understand where both Thomas and Philip are coming from when they ask Jesus their questions, or when Philip makes his statement. Jesus' answer to Philip might sound like it comes from a place of frustration, but I think you know, when you have a text, you don't know what the inflection is. It's why you should never have a conversation, a really important conversation, over text or email, because you can't tell what the other person is actually saying because there's no inflection. But I really think that Jesus's answer comes from a place of love. He says, "Have I not been with you all this time, and yet you still don't know me? Because whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So we're full circle back to the very beginning of John's gospel, when, you know, Jesus was there at the very beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. No one has seen God, but the only begotten Son, who rests in the very bosom of the Father, has made God known. So this leads us to two truths about faith. First, no one has seen God, which can be hard, especially in those times when all we want is a little encouragement, just a little jump start, just something. I just want a glimpse of something. Please, God, can I just see a little bit? But the second truth is this: we don't see God, but God sent Jesus to us precisely so we could know God a little better. Jesus is the GPS that takes us to God. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to have questions. It doesn't mean that our lives are about to be perfect and we'll never doubt or despair or wonder. But a God who loves us so much that we were sent Jesus so that we could have a better relationship with that God is a God who can handle our questions. In fact, a God who even welcomes our questions, and is a God who can help us and lead us through any situation in which we might find ourselves. So Jesus encourages us to develop a habit of looking to him during those moments of stress, because in looking to Jesus, we can see God. In doing the work that Jesus did and continuing that work, we can find the way to God. We know the way to God. We can see God through that work that we do in Jesus' name. When we look to Jesus, we see the one who preached God's mercy and taught God's love, the one who healed the sick, who opened the eyes of the blind, who made the lame to walk, and then conquered death so that even the grave can no longer claim us. Jesus comes to show us God, to show us God's grace and mercy, to show us just how much God loves us and how far God will go to communicate that love with us, so that we might believe, and so in believing that we might have life in Jesus' name, that we might have life with God. And that's a pretty amazing place to leave you, which is actually where I'm going to leave you, because we are out of time. But in believing, we have life. We have life in God. We have seen the works of Jesus in the world. We have hopefully done the works of Jesus in the world. And in so doing, we have seen a glimpse of God. So I want to thank you, as always, for joining me today. I hope that you will join me tomorrow, or actually not tomorrow. I hope you will join me on Sunday when we move to the sixth Sunday of Easter, May 21st, 2017. And we will be starting with the text from Acts, but it will be this week's text from Acts. If you're confused, listen to Monday's podcast, because I switched my weeks. So we'll actually be looking at last week's text from Acts, this week's text from Acts, but next week it'll be last week. Never mind. Hopefully I'll make it make more sense when I start next week. Anyway, thank you for joining me. Please join me again on Sunday for a reading from Acts. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can follow us on social media, and I would love to hear from you on social media: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr, GSMC Bible Study. Come and look us up. You can download this podcast and all of our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, as well as any app that you use for your mobile devices. So as always, I want to send you out into the world knowing that you are loved, knowing that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God, and hoping that you will join me again next time. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.